Thursday, April 12th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. We are coming to you from the Mile High City. That's right, we are right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports. We try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take any of this stuff too seriously. Like, it's okay to laugh at a lot of the things that do go on in the sports world, and we are very, very happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. We are making it through another week. Hope that your week is going well. Now, if you would like to contact us, let us know exactly how your week is going. We would love to hear from you. You can email us, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a suggestion for the show. Maybe you've got some feedback. Maybe you need some advice about something. We would love to get your feedback on anything that might come to mind. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. There are a couple of stories coming out today we do want to cover. And you know, I did receive an email this week that I actually wanted to read and just discuss a little bit later in the show. Plus, as we do on most Thursdays, we will have to get to our sports media overreactions of the week. You know, it seems like the sports media is always trying to sell us some sort of like snake oil nonsense. And on Thursdays, we like to laugh at a few of the more popular ones. Now, I know what you might be saying. Clint, aren't you sports media now? Sort of. Yes, I've been a member of the sports media. We do the podcast here. But we're more media-ish. Like, I don't think of myself as sports media quite yet. I'm certainly not releasing these big stories that I'm trying to get clicks on. We just come on and we just discuss some of the stories that do come out in the sports media world. Got a lot to get to today, so we need to jump in. You know, we do have a story coming out. Speaking of stories that come out that aren't always really news, we have a story here that sounds like news, but it's actually not really news. Because it looks like Golden State Warriors all-star forward Kevin Durant plans to decline his player option for the 2018-2019 season, and this summer, Kevin Durant will become a free agent. Oh, man. Can you just see all the local talk radio shows? Their boards are just lighting up with the phone calls. Where could Kevin Durant go? Where's he going to end up? I mean, is there any chance that maybe he would go back to Oklahoma City? Or maybe he's going to join LeBron James? Maybe they'd both go to the Lakers, or maybe they'd both go to Philadelphia. No, actually, he's going to become a free agent, and then he's just going to sign either like a 1, 2, 3, or 4 year deal again with the Warriors. And it just kind of depends on what kind of deal he wants. There are a couple of different arrangements that he will get with each of those deals. Just kind of depends on what he wants. Certain deals come with things like no trade clauses and different clauses within the contract. He's going to re-sign with the Warriors. He isn't going anywhere. So if you hear any of that, don't fall for the Kevin Durant is about to become a free agent nonsense. You know, there just could be a certain sports network out there. Kevin Durant, where could he be heading next? Details when we get back. Yet don't fall for any of that stuff. It's actually really not true. Something else coming out in sports news. Villanova players Mikal Bridges and Jalen Brunson have announced that they will both be turning pro, and they are declaring for the NBA draft. Now, I think that Mikal Bridges could become a star in the NBA. He has a skill set that just looks to me like it would translate very well to that next level. He runs the floor extremely well. He can shoot it. He can beat you off the dribble. He can defend, and we know that at Villanova, he was asked to defend. He was asked to rebound. He was asked to do those little things. I think that bodes very, very well for him going forward into the NBA. Now, Jalen Brunson, that's a little bit of a different story. And to be completely honest, I'm not quite sure how Jalen Brunson's game will translate to the professional level. And I'm not saying that it can't. I think it definitely can. I'm just not quite sure how that's going to go. Because remember, Jalen Brunson is not this fast break leading guy that is racking up assists and knocking down shots. And he's very, very good at scoring off the dribble. He's very, very good at posting guys up. A lot of times in the NBA, that kind of stuff isn't really asked of guys at the point guard position. And so I think for Jalen Brunson, and I really like Jalen Brunson. You guys know, I love Jalen Brunson. He was our most outstanding player here on the Daily Dose for college basketball this year. I'm a big fan of just the way he conducts himself. I'm a big fan of the way he plays, but I think that he has to find the right situation in the NBA, because I don't know that he can just go into any team and lead any team. Love his leadership skills, but his physical abilities are a little bit different. He is not, you know, this speed guy that's going to fly up the floor and just press the break and really get you into secondary offense and just always putting pressure on you. He's more of a walk it up guy. He's more of a get you into sets, get the ball to the right people, distribute, be smart, beat some guys off the dribble when he can. That's a little bit different than what a lot of NBA teams are looking for in their point guards. Going to be interesting to see exactly what Jalen Brunson can do at the next level. Like the kid a lot. Just going to have to see how his game will translate to that next level. One more thing coming out in the world of breaking news. It seems federal prosecutors in New York have added additional criminal counts to the indictment of Adidas executive James Gatto, alleging for the first time that he conspired to provide cash payments to the families of former basketball players at both the University of Kansas and North Carolina State. Okay, I'll try to keep going here. The new indictment alleges Gatto and another unidentified Adidas consultant conspired to provide at least $90,000 to the mother of a former Kansas player between October 2016 and November 2017, and at least $20,000 to the legal guardian of a second player who committed to play to Kansas back in August of 2017. Man, okay, we have a new rule. Wake us up when we actually have something here in this whole thing. Because I'm hearing like 50 million accusations here in this college basketball scandal, right? We have like 10, 12 schools. They've named some assistant coaches. We have one coach that did get fired. We have shoe reps getting arrested. But here's the thing. I'm kind of getting sick of just more and more stuff, more and more accusations. More and more, we've got more information here. We've got more information here. Here's another example. Here's another case. Well, yeah, but nothing's really happening, is it? I mean, it's not like we're seeing any changes aside from the Rick Pitino thing. And that was his school. It's not like we're really seeing anything happening, are we? I mean, it's just more and more stuff. When something actually starts happening, then let me know. Because we're all just sitting around waiting. We heard about Sean Miller months ago. What changed there? Nothing. We've heard about Kansas and maybe Duke and all these different schools that they were involved in. They were involved in, but nothing's happening. I'm just kind of getting sick of it all. Ugh. Hey, you know what? Coming back, I'm going to go ahead and go get a cup of coffee, try to wake myself up after talking about the never-ending college basketball scandal. Ugh, I'm getting sick of it. Geraldo Rivera had more results when he opened Al Capone's vault. Also, I am going to be reading a message that I received on Twitter concerning the NFL draft and a few of the quarterbacks that are coming out. Okay, so every once in a while, do get messages on email, do get messages on Facebook, on Twitter. People will text me, whatever it might be. I did get one this week that I wanted to go ahead and read here on the show. It says, Daily Dose, I know you aren't big on the current NFL quarterback class, but if you were choosing one of the quarterbacks available, how would you rank the quarterbacks available in this draft? That is from Kyle C. on Twitter. First off, thank you very much for sending that. We appreciate anytime you want to send us a question, you want to give us some feedback, whatever it might be, we'd be glad to hear from you. We'll always answer you. And if it lines up, we'll read what you sent on the show sometimes. So feel free to send that whenever you want to. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at the quarterbacks in the NFL draft class and understand this. Here in the next few weeks with that draft coming, and that draft is coming really, really quickly, we're going to be going into it a lot more. But we'll kind of get this started right now because of Kyle's question and start looking at this draft class, at least from the quarterback perspective right now. I realize this might not be the most popular opinion the way I'm going to rank these guys. You ask my opinion, I'll give you my opinion. It might be different than what other people might say, but here are the quarterbacks that I would take first. And understand this, it really does depend on your needs. Certain guys can do certain things better. What do you need as a team? But if I were ranking the quarterbacks, here would be my rankings. Top quarterback in this class, to me, I think USC's Sam Darnold is the safest pick. Now, that doesn't mean he'll be anything. But here's the things that I like about Sam Darnold. He's a pretty accurate passer. He has very good size. He seems to have a basic grasp of a pro-style offense. And the one thing that I'll give Darnold credit for, I think you could probably put him basically anywhere. Go to Cleveland, he's going to say and do the right things. Go to New England, he's going to say and do the right things. I think Darnold is just a safe pick. I think he could be, in the right place, a day one starter, and he could possibly be a solid quarterback. Now, am I looking at him and saying, hey, of all the quarterbacks in here, Sam Darnold is a superstar? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that he's probably the safest pick, though, because it doesn't look like there are these huge, major flaws with him. I think he's a hungry guy. I think he'll come in and he'll work hard in whatever system he goes to. That, I think, makes Sam Darnold the safest pick of all these guys. Number two, I would go with Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen. Now, I actually think that Josh Allen probably has the highest ceiling of anyone in this class. But here's the drawback, taking a guy like Allen, he could have a very, very low floor. Josh Allen has great size. He is 6'4". He is about 240 pounds. They are saying he has a cannon for an arm. They are comparing Josh Allen's arm strength with guys like Randall Cunningham and John Elway, some of the biggest arms to ever play the game. Now, accuracy could be a problem. And I'm not sure how much competition he truly faced at Wyoming. But to be fair, he didn't have much help on his side either. So Josh Allen has the chance, at least, to be great. Maybe. That chance is there, right? He could be a great one. He's got a huge arm. Could you correct a few things? Could you get him to make the reads? He could be a great quarterback. He could be like the next Dan McGuire. I don't know. High ceiling, low floor. But I would put Josh Allen at number two. Number three might surprise you a little bit, because I would probably go with Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield. And yes, I realize that he is a tad undersized. And I'm always, always going to be nervous about quarterbacks that played in that spread type of offense, because they don't have to make as many decisions. They are told exactly where to go with the football. But here's the thing that I think sets Baker Mayfield apart, and I know he's undersized, but I like his competitiveness. I like that he seems to love playing football. I like that he wants to be the baddest dude on the field, and I like that it seems like his teammates love playing with him. Is he going to be a great quarterback? I don't have any idea. Is he going to come in and probably work extremely hard and try to improve every single day? Yeah, I think he probably will. And based on that, I would put Baker Mayfield at three. At number four, I would probably go with UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen. Hey, Josh Rosen looks like a quarterback. I will give you that. He has all of the measurables. Very good pocket passer. He has a much better arm than people sometimes think he does. He can make every single throw. You want him to throw that 18-yard out on a rope, he can throw it. And Josh Rosen did play in a pro-style offense, which is an added benefit. And I know it's not maybe the biggest thing, but taking snaps under center and making your reads from under center, it is different than making them 7 yards in the pocket. Your vision's not as good. He has done that already. Here are some problems I have with Josh Rosen and why I have him down at four, despite the fact that if you look at him, of all these guys, you would look at Josh Rosen and say, that's the guy just looking at him. My problem with Josh Rosen is this. He has had trouble staying on the field due to health problems. I don't know how much he really wants to play. It wasn't like on some of those health problems, he probably couldn't have played through them. He chose not to. And Josh Rosen has a number of character questions that remind me a lot of another guy with a huge arm and all of the measurables, and he looked like a quarterback. But Jay Cutler didn't have the intangibles, and that's what I worry about with Josh Rosen. Hey, maybe Josh Rosen comes out and totally proves me wrong. Look, I was the guy, just a weird situation, but I absolutely had all those intangibles. Maybe that's the case, but I haven't seen those yet. I won't hold the fact that he didn't win that much at UCLA completely against him, but that worries me a little bit too. There were a few games that Josh Rosen should have found a way to win, and he didn't. Of course, there were also a few games that he should have found a way to play, and he didn't. So, whatever. I'll have Josh Rosen at 4. At number 5, I would probably go with Washington State quarterback Luke Falk. And you know, he could end up being a sneaky pick in this draft because while he did play in Mike Leach's crazy offense at Washington State, Falk has shown the potential to have a shot playing in the NFL because he has a very strong arm and his accuracy is a lot better than most of the spread option guys. Now, his size is a bit of a concern. He's about 6'3 and about 215, but it's not like he's a runner. It's not like he's a guy looking to get out and make plays with his feet. No, he's a pocket passer. Under the right coaching staff, I think Luke Falk could be a sneaky pick in this draft. I think he's better than people think he is. I would put him at number 5. At number 6, I would probably go with Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson. Now, his physical skills are absolutely electric. He has a very strong arm. He is extremely elusive, and he is as quick a quarterback as you may ever see. But he struggles with his footwork. He struggles making reads. And as a result, we're probably going to see his accuracy suffer play in, play out. When you add into the equation his tendency to run at that slight size that he is, because he's not much bigger than Luke Falk, but he likes to get out and run, yeah, that could be a recipe for disaster. Now, Lamar Jackson would be extremely exciting to watch. Like, my eyes would be glued to the TV set when he's in the game. Something's going to happen. It might be something really good. It might be something really horrible, but I would be watching for sure. I would worry about his longevity. Hey, it's just a matter of time in the NFL before those guys catch up with you. And even though Jackson is fast, he would eventually get caught. That's just how this league works. At number 7, I would probably go with Oklahoma State quarterback Mason Rudolph. You know, he has nice size. He's a big, strong guy. He has had accuracy issues. And in the NFL, you don't have guys running open by 10 yards like he did at Oklahoma State.
That ain't true!
You shut up, Mike Gundy. And you know, Mason Rudolph hasn't played under center. That will be a serious adjustment for him. Mason Rudolph could end up being a decent player in the NFL, but he will need some time to develop. He is not a guy that is going to step right in and play. He's not ready for that kind of thing. My final quarterback that I would put on this list, I will throw one more guy in here, and I know he didn't play against top competition at Richmond, but I would put Kyle Loletta on this list. He does have some intangibles. You know, his arm is good enough, but the thing I like about Loletta, he finds ways to win. He finds ways to get things done. I always like those kind of guys. Those guys that you look at and you go, I don't know, he doesn't really look like he's a great quarterback. He doesn't really look like the biggest, strongest guy. No, but he finds ways. He's resourceful. Richmond quarterback Kyle Loletta. I'm just throwing that out there. He could be a guy that could be the steal in the draft. Keep an eye on that NFL draft as it's getting closer and closer. We'll be sure to look at a few other positions and a number of needs for different teams. NFL draft is coming quickly, and it's going to be a very, very interesting one. Hey, coming back, we have got to get to our weekly segment, the Daily Dose Sports Media Overreactions of the Week. We have a few things that we've got to talk about this week that are coming out in the sports media world that, as usual, they don't always make the most sense. Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/Daily Dose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. April's Loot Crate theme, it's called Artifacts, and it features items from Marvel Comics, Lord of the Rings, The Legend of Zelda, and The Dark Crystal. Of course, the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Now, if you hear those franchises that I just named, and you say, yeah, those don't really interest me, you don't have to order the crate of the month. You can go there and you can order a single crate, You can order a monthly subscription of crates. You can just go get individual items over at Loot Crate, and they have a ton of stuff over there. Make sure that you stop by lootcrate.com. Now, like we do every single Thursday, we like to take a look around the sports world and see what overreactions the sports media might be jamming down our throat and telling us this is newsworthy. And sometimes we hear these things and we'll just say something simple.
That was an overreaction.
One of the things that I am hearing this week, and I started hearing it last week, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. There is some talk out there that Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather are going to sign to fight a second fight, this time in the octagon, although it'll still just be regular boxing rules. But one of the things that I'm hearing in the sports media world is that Conor McGregor is absolutely crazy and he's a dangerous guy. He may never fight again in UFC. UFC president Dana White said that right now he's not even going to work with Conor McGregor. So there's no way that fight's ever going to happen, right? And you know, we all saw Conor McGregor melt down last week, do whatever that was, throwing the stuff at the bus and causing all kinds of problems and getting arrested and having to post bail and all the craziness that went on last week. But are you really going to tell me that they're not going to want to work with him anymore? And I know Dana White came out and said, well, we're not going to work with Conor right now. Notice he said right now. Notice he didn't say, we're never going to work with him again. And he could have said that very, very easily. He could have came out right up front and said, hey, Conor is done with UFC. If he wants to go box or he wants to go play slap and tickle with Floyd Mayweather, whatever it is he wants to do, that's fine. That's up to him. But we'll never work with him again. That's not what Dana White said. Dana White said, we're not working with him right now. That doesn't mean he's never going to work with him again. In fact, I fully expect him to work with him again. It's just a matter of time. He's got to let all the legality stuff finish out. But then, oh, they'd love to have Conor come work with them because Conor is guaranteed money. Conor is guaranteed pay-per-view sales. Don't tell me that he's never going to work with him again. That's silly and that's nonsense. Another thing that I heard, after watching the Masters at Augusta this last week, there were a couple of people on the Golf Network, some smart, smart people saying this, Tiger Woods is getting better and better. He is coming back, and this season, we will definitely see him win a tournament, if not a major. Hey, I'll say this. I hope so. I hope Tiger wins something this year. It would be so exciting for golf if he did win something. But I'm not so sure that I'm ready to say something like that. I know that there is this thinking with sports fans, and especially with the sports media, that time and rest heal all wounds. And to a degree, that's true. But you know what they don't heal? They don't heal age. And Tiger is now fighting age too. See, age doesn't care how much rest it gets. You can rest all you want. It doesn't make you younger. And that back is now, you know, 40 years old or whatever. That's not getting any younger. It truly looked like the stage was set for Tiger to compete at Augusta this past week. He had been playing pretty well. He had been competing a little at some smaller tournaments against some lesser known guys. And I realized that Augusta was a challenging course specifically for him because he just can't drive like he used to. But it is also a course where Tiger has had some of his greatest moments. And let's be real honest, Tiger was miles away from even competing. Forget actually winning. Forget actually getting up top of the leaderboard. I mean, he was way, way back in the pack. Hey, I'm rooting for Tiger. It would be way more compelling if Tiger Woods was competitive again. I just don't know if I see it, unless it's some little tiny tournament. I mean, if he wants to sign up, you know, for the Aurora, Colorado Open, then yeah, maybe he can win that. But like a major, anything like that, when I hear these people on the Golf Network saying that, it tells me they're trying to pump up their business. It tells me they're trying to bring in some viewers and they're hoping to create a stir because I just don't see it. I'm hoping, but I don't see it. Also heard this one. And I don't know if I've heard this one before. I actually heard this week that the NFL doesn't have a quarterback problem, that the NFL actually has a wide receiver problem. And here's kind of the logic that they used. Over the past three NFL drafts, the 13 first round wide receivers have produced exactly one Pro Bowler, and they have produced 9 players who have never even caught 40 passes in a single season. From terminology to routes to how they're caught to catch the ball, we have a number of first-round receivers just becoming busts. Here's my only question about that. Like, 3 years is kind of a small sample size, isn't it? That's a little bit little. Can we go back maybe 5, 6 years and see if that's the case? But I do think this. I do think that those college spread offenses do change the wide receivers too. We've talked about it here on the show. They definitely change what the quarterbacks do. The quarterbacks don't have to necessarily make any reads. They walk up to the line. They get everybody set. They look to the sideline. And the coach tells them, you know, they hold up the, I don't know, hamburger helper glove or Mickey Mouse or whatever it might be. Then they look over there. They know the play and they know exactly where they're going with the football. We've also seen it affect the offensive line. The offensive line doesn't have to hold blocks like they do in the NFL. It's not nearly as important because the ball is getting out of there so fast. So we aren't seeing much development of the quarterback or the offensive line. But you know, we're not seeing much development of the wide receivers either. So I'll take some of this and say, yeah, that might be possible. Because think of some of these spread offenses that we see. Mike Leach's offense. He runs 4 verticals on a number of plays. How much development with the wide receivers is really going on there? And to be fair, like we've talked about before, it isn't that we have a ton of great quarterbacks throwing the ball to these guys. If you put some of these young wide receivers on good teams, put them with a good quarterback, I bet their production would go up at least a little. Are they being developed probably as much as they should? No, I doubt it. So I'll hear a little bit of this. Does the NFL have a huge wide receiver problem? Not yet. Maybe that's coming. Right now, I think the NFL has an offensive line and a quarterback problem. And it's about to get bigger and bigger and bigger the further we go. Another popular take that is out there this week, we're hearing a lot about it later here in the week, is that Philadelphia 76ers big man Ben Simmons should not win the Rookie of the Year because he was in the NBA last year. Yes, he sat out with the injured foot, but he was technically in the NBA. So the Rookie of the Year award should go to a true rookie, someone like Utah Jazz rookie Donovan Mitchell. Now, Ben Simmons was technically in the NBA last year, but he never played even a minute. He sat out the entire season. But here's the thing that some people might just be forgetting about. There is a precedent for this. I mean, Blake Griffin won the Rookie of the Year back in 2011 after he sat out the 2010 season with a knee injury. It's a little bit weird, but technically that is the rule. These guys haven't played. And I like Donovan Mitchell a lot. But say what you want about Ben Simmons. Dude has been very, very good, especially coming down the stretch, getting this team into the playoffs. And once Joel Embiid went out, Ben Simmons has really upped his game. Gotta give him some major credit for that. Lastly, the one thing that I'm hearing, and it is being said on a number of sports networks out there, the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers are about to flip the switch come playoff time. Maybe. That's possible. But understand this, because we have seen both of these teams just kind of going through the motions in the regular season. And then when you get to the postseason, what we're expecting to see Golden State and Cleveland, all of a sudden they up their game and they change the way they play. And all of a sudden they're much more sharp and they're much more focused and they're much more dedicated and they prepare in such a different way that they really transform the way their team looks. And I will hear some of that. There are certain players that are capable of doing that. I think someone like LeBron James is capable of doing that. I think Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, those guys, some of them are capable of doing that. I don't know that every team can do that. And I don't know that every player can do that. Are you really telling me some of those young guys on that Cleveland team are all of a sudden going to go, okay, fellas, now it's time to get serious. Let's go. They've never even been to a playoff game. They have no idea what they're even in for. So I think the Warriors have a better chance of flipping the switch than Cleveland does, just because I think they have more players that understand what that means. But it is always very, very dangerous to sit there and depend on flipping a switch and saying, okay, here's the way we've been playing for the last 3 months. Now all of a sudden we're serious. That is a big, big risk to take. I still think those two teams are probably the favorite to win it all. The Cavs, just because the East is so soft. The Warriors, just because of their talent and their experience. But I think both of those teams are definitely beatable this year in the playoffs. And I don't know if we've said that the past few years. I think they both could be had this year. Be very, very careful about having any faith in the proverbial switch that all of a sudden you're just going to flip. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories, and we will be previewing the weekend in sports like we usually do. Plus, we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you have to tune in for that. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions, for the suggestions, for the Twitter question that we got today. Thank you so much for sending that in. Thank you all for sharing the show. Make sure that you don't miss a single episode by subscribing wherever it is that you listen. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.